Today on NFL Fantasy Live, the 2014 season is almost here. We've got everything you need to get set for a championship run, starting with our list of this year's top bounce-back candidates. Plus, Marshawn Lynch has been a fantasy rock, but is he due for a down year? Find out which stars our experts say you have to avoid in 2014. I'm all about that action, boss. And Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano reveals his top 10 fantasy QBs heading into the season. See who's leader of the pack and who missed the list. NFL Fantasy Live starts right now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the National Football League. Jason Smith here alongside the Admiral Akbar Bajabiamila and Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. Don't forget, signups for the 2014 fantasy football season are now open at NFL.com/fantasy, so be sure to sign up. Make sure you check out our fantasy draft kit, which is packed full of player rankings and draft tips. NFL.com/draft kit. A lot of information, and guys, we're closing in on the 2014 fantasy season. Time to get excited. But Fabs, you're excited about fantasy and something else today.
Yeah, I have to say happy birthday to my sister Denise, who is turning... I'm not going to say, but happy birthday. I love you, Denise.
And Akbar, you talk about excitement. You haven't lived until you've seen Akbar do an impression of his dad watching Nigeria play in the World Cup.
Yeah, against Iran. Who kidnapped the players? What happened? Why is it 0-0? There's no fantasy point in this. What?
The 2013 NFL season now way behind us, so let's talk about some guys who we expect to have bounce-back fantasy years in 2014. We'll start with a guy you like in Washington, Fabs, Robert Griffin III.
Everything this offseason has happened in an effort to get Robert Griffin III back to the form that he was at as a rookie. And this is going to be an explosive offense. Not only do you have Pierre Garçon, but now you have DeSean Jackson, Andre Roberts, Jordan Reed, a very strong running back in Alfred Morris, and Jay Gruden calling the shots. Now remember, Jay Gruden led Andy Dalton to a top five finish in fantasy points among quarterbacks last season. Imagine what he can do with RG3. His mental and physical confidence in that knee is back, and the brace is gone. RG3 is going to be a bounce-back candidate in 2014.
I can't wait to see what he's going to do out there. I mean, just that whole atmosphere. When it's new and you feel good about yourself, RG3, when he's at his best, I mean, he is going to be a bombonical player.
Concerns about his health at all?
No. Everything
staying
is behind
healthy.
Him.
Staying healthy.
You can't predict injuries. Everything right now
is behind
him.
You can't predict injuries, but if he does get injured again, I mean, God forbid, then all of a sudden now there's that big question mark on his head now. If he can stay healthy, he's going to get that Michael Vick tag.
All right, it's already been a big bounce-back offseason for Aaron Rodgers, now dating Olivia Munn. But on the field, you like him this season as well.
Well, I really do. You know, and for all the naysayers out there, for some reason, if you think that, you know, somehow Aaron Rodgers is not going to get back to form. Yes, he missed more than half of the season last year, but I think Aaron Rodgers is in a great situation now. You know, Green Bay Packers, they lose James Jones, but of course they go out and draft Devontae Adams. I really think he's going to be a big star in this offense, but they have Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. That tells me that Aaron Rodgers is going to get back to doing what he does best, and that's just putting up fantasy points. Think about the 4 games he played in out of those 8 games. He gave you 20 or more fantasy points. So there's no reason for you to believe that Aaron Rodgers can't be A-Rod. And he's got a nice, you know, new girlfriend, too. So
lucky him. Another fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Rodgers is on the field. He is a top 3 quarterback in fantasy all day long.
And he's got a good running back behind him, Eddie Lacy, who, of course, makes that offense that much more potent.
All right, Fabs, you like Arian Foster to bounce back this year. Not going to be the number 1 overall pick like he has in fantasy years past, but still back to being the old Arian Foster?
It's a risk-reward pick because he's coming off of back surgery. He had a big workload over the previous 3 years, but they don't have anyone else in that backfield. Don't give me Andre Brown. He's been very injury-prone himself. Arian Foster is going to be on a mission this year. They're going to run the football a lot. Ryan Fitzpatrick is their quarterback. They're going to run it quite a bit, and he's going to be catching balls out of the backfield. He could see a fantasy point total that puts him in the top 5 among running backs in 2014. He's moving back up draft boards to the point where now he's in the first round, and he will be a lock to be picked in the top 10 overall selection.
See, I like the fact that you think that Arian Foster will be on a mission, but I feel like he's still going to be putting out some of that garbage emission, because when you look at the fact that he hasn't been able to stay healthy, that's a concern for me. And I fell in love with Arian Foster. He's a San Diego guy. I like his talent. But all of a sudden now he's going to be one of those guys. You talked about that risk-reward factor. That's when you want a player, just like in the locker room, you can't be in the club if you're in the tub. And for me, I just can't trust Arian Foster in that situation.
I wouldn't call him injury-prone, though, 1 year. And he had a lot of carries the previous 3 years, so it's just what happens. But think about it this way. He didn't play a lot last season. He'll be ready.
My back.
Where are you taking him, though, in the first round?
I would likely take him somewhere around 7 or 8.
That's in the first round?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
That's where I would take him. There is no Ben Tate in that backfield now. He is the guy. They're going to wear him out in 2014.
All right, a running back you like, Akbar. I can't say his name because I took him in 3 drafts last year in the first round. I lost every one of my leagues, so I'll let you talk about him. Go ahead.
You know, his name is C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller was a guy who all last season he fought through injury, and he played through the injury. And to me, you get big credit for that. I think that he's going to bounce back this year. I think that when you look at the way C.J. Spiller is, the type of player he is, he's such an explosive player. I had a chance to talk to one of his teammates during the OTAs, and he was just going absolutely nuts over C.J. Spiller. And this isn't very common. Players don't go crazy over other players in OTAs when you're not wearing pads. That's how great he's been looking during OTAs. I think that C.J. Spiller is going to come out, and he's going to have a bounce-back year, and he's going to be what everybody else thought he was going to be last year. It's not C.J. Spiller's fault that you went out and drafted him because you had this high projection on him. It's not his fault. It's your fault because, America, if you remember, I told you, draft him in the second round, but you went ahead and thought that, oh, yeah, I got to get him first before anybody else gets him, and you got burnt.
He was awful if he was in the second round. He was awful if I took him in the eighth round.
He got burnt. You got burnt. This is the year he gets and he fills those shoes of that first-round talent.
Fabs, where are you taking him in draft?
I'm probably not going to take C.J. Spiller until at least the fourth round. Fourth or fifth round.
Do you really think he's going to be around then?
I absolutely do. Absolutely do. If you're talking about a guy who he was the biggest bust in fantasy, not named Trent Richardson last season. So people are going to be a little shy on drafting C.J. too high. I'd rather have him as a flex as opposed to a low-end RB2. I want value, and I think there's value there in the fourth or fifth round.
I like that, from CJ2K to CJ2High. I like that.
You like that.
Here's Michael Fabiano's top bounce-back players for 2014, some other guys we didn't get to. Very interesting name on this list, Fabs, Stephen Ridley.
Stephen Ridley, yes, he fumbled his way out of carrying the football in 2013, but LeGarrette Blount is now in Pittsburgh, so Ridley could end up being the starter in New England and share the workload with Shane Vereen. Vereen is going to be drafted ahead of Ridley based on the Patriots' backfield, but Ridley could come back and rush for 800 or 900 yards and give you 8 to 10 touchdowns. He's that guy. He's going to be used near the goal line, too.
That sounds good.
All right, for more now, let's throw it over to Marcus Grant and Adam Rank, guys.
Thank you, fellas. I am Marcus Grant. The man here to my left is the fantasy football maverick, Adam Rank. And Frank, let's talk about some fantasy players that owners should be beware of this season. Guys who are kind of in a zone of treachery, a zone of caution.
Oh, I know it. Danger zone!
There's the one. Absolutely. So we will start in the Pacific Northwest. Be prepared to get some angry fan mail from folks up there with the guy that you have right here.
Don't get mad at me. This is all science. Marshawn Lynch is a player that I would avoid in the first round this season, and a big reason why is that he had 400 touches last year during the Seahawks' run to the Super Bowl. But you know what? You look at recent history. Ray Rice, 2 years ago, 400 touches. As the Ravens went on to win the Super Bowl, the following year he struggled mightily. I'm looking for something similar coming from Marshawn Lynch, so I would avoid him. Plus, you know what? You look at that team. They've got Christian Michael. They got Bobby Turbin. They've got some other options. This is a team that's looking to the Super Bowl, not looking at your fantasy squad. So they're going to use him a little bit more sparingly this year. So I would avoid him altogether in the first round.
Well, I've got a guy that maybe will surprise some folks as well. I'm going Nick Foles, who was fantastic last year. Didn't play a full season because Michael Vick started there as the quarterback, but still finished 11th among quarterbacks in fantasy points. Of course, everybody remembers him going deep, hooking up with Riley Cooper, connecting with DeSean Jackson, the 7-touchdown game. But beyond that, had some fairly pedestrian numbers. What helped Nick Foles last season is that he kept throwing the ball to his guys, not the other team. Just 2 interceptions. It's hard to imagine he's going to do that again this season. I think this is a year maybe you apply some caution when it comes to Nick Foles. Another one, though, that surprises me here, Rank, a guy who's coming back from injury.
Well, yeah, of course. He scares me because of that injury. Our resident medical expert, Dr. Neil Gadadra, joined NFL Fantasy Live last year and talked about how Jones not only broke his foot, He broke the screw that was holding his foot together, which means he's kind of prone to those injuries. He's putting a lot of force on that foot. So now you look at a guy who's got a history of injuries, got a high concern there that he could repeat that injury. And when you start looking at Julio Jones against some of the guys like Vincent Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Jordy Nelson, or maybe Randall Cobb, I'd rather go with somebody who's a little bit safer.
Well, I'm going to go with Alfred Morris to follow things that we know he can run the football. We know he can find his way into the end zone. What I don't know if he can do is catch the football, and that is a concern now that Jay Gruden has taken over as the head man in Washington. Alfred Morris, in his 2 years so far in the NFL, has total 20 receptions. You go back to his 4 years at Florida Atlantic, he had 30 total catches during that time then. I don't know if he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Meanwhile, Roy Helu had 31 catches alone last season. He might start taking some of those snaps on third down, and it may be Alfred Morris who doesn't see quite as many touches this year.
Why do you got a dog Alfred Morris like that?
Hey, look,
he's a friend of the program.
I know he's a friend of the program, and I think he's a good guy. I just don't think he's right for your first round fantasy pick.
All right, fair enough.
There we go. All right, fantasy fans, make sure you check out the all-new NFL.com fantasy football mobile app. It's free to download and available for your phone or tablet. You can manage your team, watch video highlights, and for the first time ever, you can even draft your fantasy team from your phone. Go to NFL.com/fantasy app to download now. Still to come, is Johnny Football worth a late-round flyer this year? How about Bishop Sankey or Sammy Watkins? Stick around to see which rookies our experts believe will guide you to a championship. And up next, there's been a ton of offseason movement. Coming up, we'll reveal which faces in new places need to find their way onto your rosters. Stick around.
Want more personalized fantasy video delivered directly to you? You can watch all your fantasy highlights as well as the latest news and advice on NFL Now, a new personalized video experience launching this summer. Learn more today at NFL.com/now. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Jason Smith here alongside Marcus Grant, Michael Fabiano, and Akbar Bajabi Amila. Remember, for all the latest and greatest fantasy news, follow us on Twitter at NFL Fantasy. A lot of shuffling this offseason. Here's a look at some of the biggest free agency moves that we've seen over the past couple of months. The New York Jets remaking their entire roster. Michael Vick, Chris Johnson, Eric Decker, DeSean Jackson, very highly publicized. Akeem Nicks sort of flying under the radar. So we have some guys with some big-time fantasy value. The topic right now, which player do we think will have the biggest impact with his new team in 2014? Fabs, we'll start with you. Where are you going?
I like two running backs. The first one is going to be in Jacksonville there, but I'm going to wait on talking about him. Ben Tate, to me, is going to make a major impact for fantasy owners. He's going to be the number one guy in Cleveland. I know there's a lot of talk about Terrence West, and he was a very solid addition in the draft, but Tate is hungry. Remember the way that his contract is structured. The more he plays, the more he gets paid. It's a short-term contract as well, and the Browns are going to run the football a lot, a whole lot. Whether it's Brian Hoyer or it's Johnny Manziel, they're going to be running the football. That's going to be a ground-and-pound team with a strong defense. I think Tate could bring back RB2 numbers, and you can probably get him as a flex.
All right, Fabs, there goes Ben Tate. And Marcus, he mentioned Toby Gerhardt, who says he wants to do his own beast mode there in Jacksonville.
That is very exciting. I like the idea that he is going to be kind of the beast of the East, if you will. Gus Bradley comes from the Seattle Seahawks. He's trying to bring some of that mentality down to Jacksonville with him, and that means Toby Gerhardt is going to see a lot of action. And, you know, we had to dig up some tape of him because he didn't play all that much behind Adrian Peterson in Minnesota, but when he got his opportunities, he was fantastic in his 6 career starts. 68 rushing yards per game. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but considering what was else behind him there in Minnesota alongside Adrian Peterson, it's quite a good number. So I like what he's going to do in Jacksonville. I think he puts up some solid numbers, and he could be a guy who approaches the 300 carry mark this year, which if you're a fantasy owner, that's the best thing you can ask for right now. Yeah,
big-time sleeper. Love Toby Gerhardt. Chris Johnson says he can be a 2,000-yard back again. Akbar, I think I can still be the shortstop for the Mets, but I don't know that that's really
well,
feasible.
You might actually be. I'm not that good.
I can hit about 260.
Well, you know, I believe Chris Johnson because I think Chris Johnson is going to have a bounce-back year in 2014. You know, this guy's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's upset with what the Tennessee Titans did to him. I mean, they pretty much held him and held him until there were no really strong options for him to go to. And now he ends up with the New York Jets. The fact that you have him in the New York Jets with Rex Ryan, that couple together is going to make a phenomenal, phenomenal impact in your fantasy league. And here's why. Think about what Rex Ryan did with this 8-8, or excuse me, they went 8-7-1, or 8-8. They went 8-8 last year. And think about how he did that. He didn't have anything to play with. Now you get Chris Johnson, you put those two together, Chris Johnson's going to have an explosive year. Remember, he was the 9th running back last year amongst running back in fantasy points. That's 10 touchdowns, over 1,400 scrimmage yards. That's not bad for Chris Johnson for a bad season. That's not bad. I think he's going to have a bigger year this year.
And you can get him late. He's going to split carries with Chris Ivory. Could be a great late-round bargain for you. I'm going to stay in New York and go Eric Decker. And I understand people say, oh, Eric Decker catching passes from Geno Smith now and not Peyton Manning. But as long as you draft Eric Decker appropriately, he will reward you. He's still going to have between 800 and 1,000 yards this year at the least and still get you between 8 and 10 touchdowns. I know the Jets only threw for 13 touchdowns last year, but that's because, Marcus, they didn't have an Eric Decker to throw the football to.
I think a lot of things have changed in New York. Last year, we talked about the Jets. You're looking at maybe one guy you could possibly take a chance on. Now you've got a couple of options. I think Eric Decker, as long as you draft him as kind of a wide receiver two, maybe a wide receiver three, has some value there. Chris Johnson, as you mentioned, Akbar, has some value there. So there are some weapons in place that make the Jets as a whole a little bit more of an attractive fantasy option.
Keep in mind, though, Eric Decker's got to go against the number one cornerback every single week. Darrell Revis twice. They've got some great corners in the East. I'm not a fan.
Have to draft him appropriately. That's the biggest thing. Don't reach. Now, Emmanuel Sanders taking his place ostensibly in Denver. What kind of year do you think he has?
Well, filling in that role, anybody who's paired with Peyton Manning, automatically their impact, their fantasy impact just flies off the roof. His altitude will have everything to do with his aptitude and his ability to understand this playbook. I believe Emmanuel Sanders is that guy. He did it with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Think about what Eric Decker did before he met Peyton Manning. He never had a 1,000-yard season. He met Peyton, got a 1,000-yard season. Think about Demaryius Thomas. Never had a 1,000-yard season. Met Peyton Manning, 1,000-yard season. Wes Welker got better under Peyton Manning. Never had a double-digit touchdown season. He met Peyton Manning, got double digits. That means Emmanuel Sanders is going to have all of that. He's going to have double-digit touchdowns, and he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. I can guarantee you that.
All right, Golden Tate, finally. Calvin Johnson has someone opposite him in Detroit. Fabs, he was the number one wide receiver to own in Seattle last year, but where do you take him this season?
I like him as a three. Maybe you can get him as a four in a smaller league. He does have a really good shot to go for 1,000 yards this year. Almost had 1,000 last year in Seattle where they run the football. Now he's in Detroit with a passing offense, with a passing quarterback in Matthew Stafford. He could be a nice draft bargain despite the fact that he went to Notre Dame. But that's all I'll say about that.
Hey, they get to play the Packers twice this year. Maybe a couple more fail Marys there?
Could happen. Get those old officials out of retirement. We're getting the band back together. Coming up, it's sleeper time. You want to know which sleepers will awake this season to lead you to fantasy glory? Why, hello, Geno Smith. Oh, welcome. He's got you covered on that. But up next, we run through this year's rookie class to reveal which youngsters are primed for breakout seasons. This is the one and only NFL Fantasy Live. The 2014 mock drafts are now open at NFL.com/fantasy. Practice makes perfect, so be the first of your friends to log on and practice your draft strategy. Standard and auction mock formats are both available, with drafts starting every minute. So be sure to check it out at NFL.com/fantasy. Here's a look at the top five fantasy rookie quarterback seasons since 2010. Cam Newton tops the charts with over 369 fantasy points back in 2011 when he largely went undrafted. That ranked him third among all quarterbacks that season. Newton also set the NFL record with 14 rushing TDs that year. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Jason Smith here with Marcus Grant, Michael Fabiano, and Adam Rank. We saw on that board mobile rookie quarterbacks can definitely do some damage. So let's talk about everyone's favorite rookie quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Very close. If you got fantasy points for being on a good-looking quarterback room, Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo would be your guys. But Johnny Manziel getting all the hype. Is he draftable, Rank?
He's draftable, but you don't know if he's going to be the number one quarterback. We're sitting here in June right now. The Browns are trying to bring him along slowly. So unless he comes out and be the number one quarterback, I'm going to wait on him.
I love Manziel because I love guys who can run with the football and play the quarterback position. Don't give me this Brian Hoyer stuff. Brian Hoyer, come on. Manziel's the guy. He's going to be the face of their franchise, whether they like it or not. Manziel has monster upside in fantasy. I draft him late as a QB2. Sit on him for a little bit. If he doesn't win the job outright in camp, he'll become the starter at some point in the regular season.
Yeah, eventually the Browns are going to have to realize, Marcus, he's our future. The pressure to play him is too immense. But would I go out and get him unless I make sure I have a really good starter? No, I'm going to make sure I get my lock guy. I want to start every week. And if I get him, then I'll draft Manziel. He can be a bonus.
You're talking about a guy who's kind of an enigma in a quarterback class that was very flawed. So, yes, I think the Browns are going to rush him into their lineup at some point this season. I don't know that I rush him into my fantasy lineup. I'm probably going to be the guy because I'm a little bit skeptical. I may stay away from Manziel, but if you do take a chance on him, he's kind of a late-round flyer as a number two guy.
Well, let's head to the running backs now. The top five fantasy rookie running back seasons since 2010. Of course, Doug Martin at the top with over 262 points. He was second overall that year. Alfred Morris, another guy who went undrafted through most leagues in 2012. Last year, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, 6 and 14. They really came through. So who are the big rookie running backs to target this season? I already know Michael Fabiano has a man crush on Bishop Sankey. You interviewed him on NFL Network earlier this offseason. You think he could be in for a big year.
What does Bishop and the guys on the board there have in common?
Opportunity.
They all had the opportunity to be the guy for their respective teams. And Bishop's going to have the same opportunity in Tennessee. Chris Johnson is gone. Don't give me Sean Green. He's coming off of a couple of knee surgeries, and he is really slow and plodding, entering his age 29 season. Dexter McCluster maybe becomes a third down guy who catches the ball out of the backfield. But Bishop is going to see more carries and more touches out of that Tennessee backfield than any other of his teammates. And remember, this Titans offensive line is darn good. I mean, they have been really bloating up at the offensive line spot. So Bishop's in a good position to succeed. I wouldn't draft him as a one or a two, but I'd take him as a flex, an RB3, no question about it. He's probably going to be drafted somewhere around the sixth round.
All right, on the surface, it looks like a very crowded running back room in Cincinnati. But, Marcus, you like Mr. Hill.
I do like Jeremy Hill. And this is kind of a draft and follow, if you will. I mean, I think he's going to be a guy who comes into the season, and he's going to be battling with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to give that second running back spot. Look, Giovanni Bernard is going to be the man in Cincinnati this year. There's no doubt about that. But the law firm might start to lose some of those billable hours, and they're going to go to Jeremy Hill. He is a thumper. He's that guy who can go up the middle. He can be that short yardage, that goal line back for the Bengals. And maybe at the start of the year, he's not seeing so many touches. But by the time the year is over, Jeremy Hill, I think, is going to supplant Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
You've been watching The Firm too much on reruns.
A little too much.
No, Reich, you've been singing the praises of Terrence West ever since he was drafted. You love him this season.
Yeah, I liked him going all the way back to the combine. He really caught my eye. And when he went to Cleveland, I thought he was going into the perfect situation. Both Charlie Casserly and Daniel Jeremiah both told me that he's going to end up being the number one running back for the Cleveland Browns, and I love that situation. New coordinator Kyle Shanahan had a very similar situation 2 years ago when he was the offensive coordinator with the Washington Redskins with a player you just saw on that list, Freddie Morris. He was able to run him, and so Terrence West is going to have a similar season to that. I love him. Big back. Great situation there in Cleveland.
You'll be able to get him well after the 10th round.
Oh, yeah. You sneak in, you draft. It's kind of like No'Shawn Moreno last year when he came in, picked him up. But make sure he's on your roster.
All right, let's move to the wide receivers now. The top five fantasy rookie wideout season since 2010. Notice the theme here. Nobody in the top 10. Mike Williams leading the way in 2010. Nobody provides prospects for the NFL who may or may not succeed like Syracuse. The best rookie wide receiver season we've seen the last few years, but still, you look at some of these guys. A.J. Green, as good as he is now, just 14th his rookie season. Keenan Allen, just 17th, though he came on late. Julio Jones, T.Y. Hilton, none of these guys are true number one wide receivers, so know that when you're drafting. That being said, Fabs, you can still wind up with a good number two. Sammy Watkins could wind up being that guy.
I just don't see it. You know, he is the number one rookie wide receiver to target. But guys, rookie wide receivers just typically don't put up big numbers. From 2009 to 2013, there have been 154 wide receivers drafted. Six finished in the top 20 among fantasy wide receivers during that rookie season. It just doesn't happen. Watkins is going to be a nice guy to draft maybe as a 3-4 somewhere in that area, but it's more name and less production for these kids. Wait until the second or third year.
All right, we saw Lob City with the Clippers this season. Marcus, could be Lob City again in Tampa Bay with Mike Evans.
Very much so. Look, if the Miami Heat are interested in really restructuring, they can go up the road to Tampa, find some post presence there between Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, Austin Seferian Jenkins. But you look at what Evans did, especially at Texas A&M, for a lot of the big plays that Johnny Manziel made, a lot of them were kind of throw up and hope. And Mike Evans was able to come down with the football. I think he will be a very intriguing red zone target. Maybe not a star right away, but can score touchdowns for you.
All right, how about Brandon Cooks? He could be in for a big season.
No, I love this guy. I loved watching him at Oregon State, those late night games on the Pac-12 Network. And he was just an amazing playmaker for the Beavers. And now I was really pumped when he went to the New Orleans Saints because he's walking into a great situation. As a matter of fact, Drew Brees just recently said he could pick up a lot of production that has been left behind because of the departure of Darren Sproles. So that's a huge, huge boost of confidence for him right there. And I understand the Saints receivers can be a little dicey because everybody outside of Jimmy Graham just doesn't seem to be very consistent. But Brandon Cooks is a guy who can come in and pick it up. And you know what? Listen, he's not going to be number one wide receiver or number two wide receiver, but he could be a WR3 for you. And I put the letters out there just so you're clear.
And these are all guys.
Wait, let me make sure. WR.
You write it on your hand next time.
Write it on my hand. Yes. Mike Evans is great, but yeah, I like Brandon Cooks a lot.
All right, and all guys you can get late in your drafts as well. Still to come, who's the top dog in the fantasy this year? Is it Jamal, LeSean, or Adrian? What about a little-known guy named Peyton Manning? Find out who our experts say you have to take if you land the number one pick in your draft. It's NFL Fantasy Live. Coming up, we tackle all your tough fantasy questions for 2014. Is Jimmy Graham a top 10 pick? And who should be the number one overall selection? We'll let you know. Plus, if you want some sleepers for 2014, we've got some. Our experts reveal their favorite under-the-radar players to keep your eye on. And which QB will emerge as the top scorer in fantasy this season? Could there be a dark horse? Find out when Michael Fabiano unleashes his top 10 QBs for 2014, Game of Thrones style. Okay. He's just going to unveil them. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Now we're going to do a little segment we like to call Burning Questions. We've compiled all the queries we're getting asked most about on social media, and now we have some answers for you. First question up, guys, where do you draft Peyton Manning? Fabs, what about you?
This is a tough one for me because I never draft quarterbacks early. So I would say maybe if he fell to the fifth round, I would draft him.
Really?
But that's just me. He's going to go in the first round in most drafts because of his name, because of what he did last season. For me, I wait on a quarterback, and I am waiting to draft Peyton Manning. This is not going to happen in most traditional drafts, though.
I agree with you that there is going to be that big inflation on Peyton Manning because of his production last season, but I think it's a big mistake if you're going to see and think that he's going to be there till the fifth round. I have him
He won't be.
I have him going somewhere around the third round. They're going to be the knuckleheads who are going to go out there and draft him in the first round.
Knuckleheads?
Yes, that's right. I call them knuckleheads.
Why so
it's
mean?
It's way too high to take Peyton Manning, but I have him going in the third round. I think that's his value right there. He's got a lot of guys around him that's going to allow him to continue. He's not going to get the 50 touchdowns, but he'll be there somewhere around the 40s. Around the 40s.
He is the biggest chip on his shoulder player in the NFL right now. You saw last year, this is actually 2 years ago, he lost that playoff game to the Ravens. He followed it up by throwing 7 touchdown passes against the Ravens in the opening week.
That's right.
Okay, now he's going to have a full season of that since he was embarrassed in the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, I'm saying 70 touchdowns.
70 touchdowns?
He is going to have a bigger year than he had last year.
I also said Adrian Peterson was going to run for 3,000 yards after his 2,000-yard season.
And what round did you have him in, Frank? What round
did you have him? Second round.
All right.
Wait, 70 touchdowns in only the second round?
That should be the first overall pick.
But like you said, nobody's drafting him earlier in the first round. Why would I take somebody in the first round if he's going to be available in the second?
Well, if you think he's going to throw for 70.
That's a little hyperbole. That's a little hyperbole there.
All right, let's stick
hyperbole.
We'll stick around with our orange wedding theme here for a second. Monty Ball, a lot of people have questions about him, Akbar. Is he worth a first round pick?
No, he's not. Actually, when you look at Monty Ball, he's not a proven commodity yet. And so if you take Monty Ball early in the first round, that's a big, big mistake. He's a guy that I have going in the second round, and he's the first thing smoking in the second round just because of the talent that he has around him. I love the offensive line. I love the fact that they have offensive weapon. But think back to Stephen Ridley. Think back to C.J. Spiller last season. Everybody was so high in projecting what their value was going to be, and they failed on that. It's a big mistake to take him in the first round, but it's a big mistake to pass on him in the second round.
I say in a 12-team league, he goes at the end of the first round. In a 10-team league, likely right at the top of the second round.
First thing, smoke him.
Just like you said. But keep in mind that running backs have had a lot of success while playing in a Peyton Manning offense. Edgerrin James, Joseph Addai, even Dominic Rhodes had a 1,000-yard season. And you talk about the unknown commodity. Well, that happens all the time. Eddie Lacy was an unknown commodity right last year. Le'Veon Bell was an unknown commodity. So it happens. We just got to hope that we predict the right one.
Yeah, predict.
That's the thing. We all thought it was going to be Monty Ball last year, and it ended up being no Sean Moreno. The guy you want to keep an eye on, C.J. Anderson. Hold that one through training camp. See who ends up winning that job.
Okay. All right. Thanks for mentioning C.J. Spiller. Every time I hear that name, I get a facial twitch from last year.
Oh, stop it.
Jimmy Graham, all the controversy surrounding him, do you draft him in the first round, right? What do you do?
If I think Peyton Manning's going to throw 70 touchdown passes, I can easily say that Jimmy Graham should go in the first round. Or if you're a little squeamish about it, wait till the first pick in the second round, so then it's just a matter of semantics. But Jimmy Graham is the top player at his position, and the fall-off is huge. If you look at the guy, think about Julius Thomas. He was pretty rad last season.
Yeah, he was.
Great. Jimmy Graham outscored him by about 50 points. He is by far and away the best at his position, and there is no reason to pass on him just because he's a tight end. As a matter of fact, set yourself up. Draft Jimmy Graham. But I like him at about 10 to 12, somewhere in that range.
So end of the first round.
End of the first round, early second.
And for me, with Jimmy Graham, look, being the best tight end doesn't win you fantasy your fantasy league. It's just a fact, okay? I mean, you've got to go out there and get your top running backs. You got to go out there and get your top four wide receivers. Oh, and then you go by and get a guy like Jimmy Graham. So I have him going in the second round. He's a guy, one of those guys that's going to be right there in the middle to top part of the second round for me.
Some people are going to take him in the first round, late in the first round, especially if you're in a PPR league. He won't go any later than round two.
All right, now the big question, number one overall pick. For the first time in a couple years, we have a bit of a difference of opinion here, Fabs. Who do you take number one?
And you can go in any of three ways, and I've even seen a fourth, Matt Forte, but I'm not taking him first overall. I like Adrian Peterson. Listen, the guy is an absolute cyborg. He's 29 years old. He's had a lot of work, but that doesn't matter. He's a physical specimen. Norv Turner comes in there. Look at the running backs who've had success under Norv Turner. Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson. Okay, well, those are Hall of Famers. Well, Frank Gore had his best fantasy season under Norv Turner. So did Ricky Williams. So did Lamont Jordan. You guys remember Lamont Jordan?
Lamont, I played with Lamont Jordan.
When he was the Oakland Raiders. A great season under Norv Turner. He could catch 50 balls in this backfield. And who's the number two in Minnesota right now? It's not Robert Smith. It's Matt Asiata. He's going to see all the touches in that backfield.
Matt Asiata, I love that name. Of course, he was the big guy from last year from the one game. He's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but he averaged like a yard and a half a carry.
I also like Adrian Peterson.
I'm an Adrian Peterson guy as well. I mean, I can't see beyond the marriage of Norv Turner and Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's just a big physical running back, and he's going to continue. He's just one of those guys that's going to defy age. We know that Father Time is undefeated, but I don't think that it affects Adrian Peterson until he gets about 36, 37 years old. So he still has a lot of gas left in that tank. I'm going AP.
I can't argue with Adrian Peterson if somebody wants to take him first overall. I have no problem with that, but there's a couple of other great running backs. LeSean McCoy, Chip Kelly keeps raving about this guy, and he's somebody that – you draft him first overall, you're going to be looking pretty good. The only problem with LeSean McCoy is that he didn't draft me to play Call of Duty, so he's out. I'm that kind of person. I hold those kind of petty grudges, and I will hold that against a player like that. So I'll go with Jamaal Charles, the guy who was the leading fantasy scorer last year and the guy who helped me win a couple of fantasy leagues. And when somebody helps me win a couple of fantasy leagues, I am a loyal person. I stick with my guys. Listen. I started Seabass last year and won the Experts League, so I'm loyal. I'm going Jamaal Charles. That's my number one guy.
All right. There's
got me?
Yeah, I got you. A lot of choices there at number one. And tell Lamont Jordan he really let me down in 05.
I will.
When we return, is there a youngster on the rise who could overtake Peyton Manning as the number one quarterback in fantasy this year? Find out next when Michael Fabiano gives you his top 10 gunslingers for the 2014 campaign.
Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins, leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots! That's your quarterback!
Here's Breeze, can't find anybody, he's looking for the goal line and diving in.
Rodgers scrambles left, winds up, rainbow.
He's got Cobb, touchdown, and a dagger! Oh my goodness!
A pitch, a toss, and a bomb! An absolutely perfect throw from Russell Wilson.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, the official
fantasy football show of the NFL. Jason Smith here alongside Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. And Fabs, let's talk about your top 10 quarterbacks right now heading into the 2014 season. Sure, things could change, but right now we'll go 10 through 1. Who do you have? Let's kick things off at number 10.
Number 10, I'm going with Tom Brady. Had a down season by his standards in 2013 here. The good thing is that all of those young receivers had 1 year to sort of pick up on what Tom Brady does, his cadences, audibles, and gaining a better rapport with the future Hall of Famer. He could be a great bargain at number 10, especially if Rob Gronkowski can play all 16 games.
And one thing we saw last year is that as bad as the receiving core was, he still had a great end of the season.
He did, although I can tell you one thing. I had him in a couple of teams, and there were some times when I was just pulling my hair out when Brady started for me.
Yeah, I remember the draft. You know, I got Tom Brady in the seventh round.
I was happy about it. Didn't turn out that way.
All right, who's at number 9?
Number 9 is going to be Nick Foles. And people may think that's a little too low for Nick Foles, especially after he scored so many fantasy points once he took over as a starter for the Eagles. But I want to tap the brakes on that. DeSean Jackson's gone. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. But this is more about how deep this position is than anything to do with Foles. I do say this. He is not going to have 20-plus touchdowns and single-digit interceptions again. That's just not going to happen.
All right, so Foles at number 9. How about number 8?
Number 8, I'm going with Colin Kaepernick. I like Kaepernick. He's a quarterback who can run with the football. The thing, though, is that during the regular season in the last 2 years, he hasn't really run with it as much as he's done in the postseason. And he's got great weapons. He's got Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree's going to be 100%, Anquan Boldin. They got Stevie Johnson, probably the best core receivers and weapons that Kaepernick has had. This is where I love him, though, Jason. Running the football, getting points with his feet. He is a QB1. He could be in the top 5. This, again, says something about the depth at quarterback.
Yeah, I keep looking. I look into alphabetical order. There's no Geno Smith here. I'm looking for the G in Geno.
Nor will there be, Smith.
All right, who's at number 7?
Number 7, I'm going with Robert Griffin III. RG3 is a quarterback who I think could really break out again. He broke out as a rookie last year. His numbers went down. He still averaged right around 15 fantasy points a game, but now he has DeSean Jackson. Jay Gruden's the guy who's going to be calling the shots. And under Gruden last year, Andy Dalton was a top 5 fantasy quarterback. Imagine what Robert Griffin III can do, a more dynamic player. I think he could be a steal. He's my number 7 quarterback, and he could move up.
Yeah, and you're going to get him late because people are going to lay off him because of last year.
The hype is going to pick up, though. You watch. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in the top 5 to 6 rounds starting in August.
All right, who's at number 6 for you?
Number 6, well, Matthew Stafford. Now, I know Stafford had an inconsistent season in 2013, the year before. You could consider him a bust, but he's still throwing for over 5,000 yards right around that area. He's going to give you somewhere between 25 and 35 touchdowns. I like him in this offense. It's not going to change a lot, even though Scott Linehan's now with the Dallas Cowboys. He's got Calvin Johnson. Now he's got Golden Tate. He's got an absolute strong number 2 wide receiver in there. Plus, you got Eric Ebron out of college, who's not going to have a big fantasy season, but he's going to be another player that defenses have to worry about. Stafford's going to put up some very strong numbers.
Yeah, every year they're going to throw it 9,000 times, so it doesn't
really
matter, no matter who's there. All right, now we get into the top 5. Who breaks into the top 5 for you?
Cam Newton has dropped for me. Now, Cam Newton has been one of the most successful quarterbacks in fantasy football. In fact, no player in the history of the National Football League has scored more fantasy points in their first 3 seasons since 1960. So Cam Newton is coming off of the ankle surgery. That has me concerned a little bit. His wide receivers have me concerned a little bit. Although, what did he have before the 2014 season? Steve Smith, past his prime. Brandon LaFell, okay, he's okay. But Ted Ginn, well, you know, not the best receiver in the world. So there are question marks about him. That's why I've dropped him to 5. I was in an experts league earlier in this week. I got him in the 10th round. The 10th round. Even with the question marks about Cam, to me, that's a steal.
Cam in the 10th round, so you see we're getting into the upper echelon of quarterbacks now, the top 4. Who's there for you?
I love Andrew Luck, and I loved him last year. You knew that. I said he was going to be in the top 5 in fantasy points among quarterbacks. He finished 5th. He's got another year of experience under his belt. He's got Hakeem Nicks now to throw the football to. Let's hope the offensive line can actually keep him upright. I love Andy Dalton. He is a guy who's going to come in maybe 5th round, 6th round, somewhere in that area. He could be a candidate for fantasy MVP in 2014. He's that good.
All right, now the top 3. We know the names there. What order do you have them in?
Oh, these guys are easy, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to be my number 3, but Really, you can alternate 3, 2, and 1 on here, and you wouldn't be wrong picking these guys. Rodgers didn't have a good year last year because he was injured. He busted his collarbone, missed half the season, but he's going to be back, come back with a vengeance. I love his weapons. I know that they've lost a little bit on the offense with JerMichael Finley's no longer on the team, but Jared Boykin's going to come in and make an impact. I really think Rodgers is going to be right back up there in the top three, as he always is when he does play a full 16 games.
And number two, I'm assuming Drew Brees?
Drew Brees, see? You can read my mind there. Drew Brees is one of the most consistent and productive quarterbacks in fantasy football. Every single year, this guy is in the top two in fantasy points among signal callers. Year in, year out, you know what you're going to get from Drew Brees, and the offense is going to look a little different. No Darren Sproles. They've got Brandon Cooks in there, the rookie. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully Jimmy Graham doesn't hold out, but right now Drew Brees is at number two.
And a guy we spent a lot of time talking about the show today, to no one's surprise, Peyton Manning, number one for you.
Yeah.
Unless I can't find Geno Smith anywhere.
If I could find Geno, would you stop with Geno Smith? I guess I had to go with Peyton Manning, number one. He's not going to throw for over 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns again, but how good was he last season? You don't want to pay for what he did in 2013, but even if he goes for 5,000 and 45 touchdowns, I mean, you can't sneeze at those numbers. He's got great weapons. Decker's gone, yes, but Emmanuel Sanders is now there, so Peyton Manning is going to be number one. He'll be the number one quarterback pick. He'll probably be the only quarterback picked in the first round in most standard leagues. Not by me, of course, but Peyton Manning's the guy.
All right, so there you go, Michael Fabiano. Early look at his top 10 quarterbacks. If you want to see the rest of Fabs and any of our other experts' position rankings for the 2014 fantasy season, make sure you check out our draft kit, NFL.com/draft kit. We've got experts, mock drafts, players on the rise, draft bargains, busts, and more. So check out NFL.com/draft kit. And Geno Smith is in there somewhere. Still to come, looking to finally outsmart all your friends this fantasy season? Well, we've got you covered, because coming up, we unveil our list of top sleepers for 2014. NFL Fantasy Live, coming right back. Fantasy fans, it's that time of year again. Round up your friends. NFL.com Fantasy Football is back and better than ever. NFL.com offers live scoring, instant highlights, fully customizable leagues, and an all-new mobile app. The 2014 season is almost here. Log on to NFL.com/fantasy to start playing today. Welcome back. Jason Smith here with Michael Fabiano, Marcus Grant, and Adam Rank. Guys, fantasy fans love sleepers, so let's talk about some of the ones we like the most for 2014. Here's a look at Michael Fabiano's top sleepers for this season. Jeremy Maclin coming off a big injury, but could be the number one guy there in Philadelphia. Toby Gerhart, we talked about he and Bishop Sankey earlier in the show. Fabs, Cordarrelle Patterson really came on last year. Not on this list, but he's someone who could really break through.
See, I see him more as a breakout candidate, but he's sort of a breakout sleeper. If you look at what he did at the end of last season, he was phenomenal. 6 scrimmage touchdowns in his last 5 games. Over the last 4 weeks of the season, he was the highest scoring wide receiver in fantasy football. It wasn't Josh Gordon. It wasn't Calvin Johnson. It was Cordarrelle Patterson. And Norv Turner is going to utilize this kid quite a bit as their number one wide receiver. He could be drafted as high as the 5th round and produce number 2 wideout numbers.
Marcus, when I look at you, I think Geno Smith.
I've never heard that before. But I like Geno Smith as a sleeper this year. Look, we talked earlier about what the Jets have done in terms of adding Chris Johnson, in terms of bringing in Eric Decker. They get Jason Morrow in the draft, a very athletic tight end who can do a lot of different things. There are some bona fide offensive weapons for the Jets. And you look at what Geno Smith did at the end of last season. He got hot down the stretch, and there were a lot of guys. If you had played Geno Smith, there were a lot of teams that probably could have won some fantasy leagues with the guy. I think he picks up where he left off, and I think he has a very good season. He's not going to be a QB1, but I think he can bring back some very good QB2 value for you.
All right, a lot of talent in Buffalo at the wide receiver position, right? But this is your year for Robert Woods to break through.
Yeah, I really like him. Even going back to his days at USC, and when the Buffalo Bills drafted Sammy Watkins, I was pretty excited for Bobby Woods right here, because what Sammy Watkins does is he's going to bring a lot of attention from defensive coordinators who are going to try to game plan for his speed. So then you put Bobby Woods in the slot there where he can do a lot of damage. He had a pretty good rookie season. He's going to come out. He's going to have an even better second season. He's the wide receiver that you want to own from the Buffalo Bills.
DeAndre Hopkins, we know he won't be catching passes from T.J. Yates. It could be Ryan Fitzpatrick. If that's the case, Fabs, what do you think?
I still like him as a sleeper. Listen, these second-year wide receivers are breaking out more often. Last year, you had Alshon Jeffery, you had Josh Gordon, you had Kendall Wright. A.J. Green, you know, had a great season in his second, and so did Julio Jones. Watch out for Hopkins. If you're in the late rounds and you need wide receivers, Go after the number two wideouts like him, like Cordero, like Tavon Austin.
Also, I'm going to say watch out for Kelvin Benjamin, the 29th-ranked pass offense the Carolina Panthers had last year. There's nobody else to catch balls. Somebody.
Right,
we're the rest of the group right here at 2-3-5.
Hold on. I was pretty good.
Rank would be the number two guy. That's going to do it for us today. Guys, we're ready for the season?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Let's do it.
Of course.
All right. Here we go. Make sure you tune in on July 10th for our next edition of NFL Fantasy Live. We'll have even more tips to get you ready for the 2014 fantasy football season. Thanks for watching, and don't forget, get to NFL.com/fantasy.